Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. We're continuing our series on the behavior of love. The behavior of love. Let's turn to our foundation text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's our foundation text. The behavior of love. How love behaves. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at verse 1. We'll be reading through 8a, if you will. And it reads, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." I'm reading again from the New American Standard Version. "If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." Verse 1, you produce nothing. Verse 2, you are nothing. Verse 3, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I produce nothing," verse 1, "I am nothing," verse 2, "and it profits me nothing," verse 3. Love is patient. Love is kind. And then 8 straight attributes concerning what love is not. It is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. 8 straight, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, never comes to an end, never is obsolete, never goes out of style, never stops working like batteries that are broken in it. The batteries die, love no longer works. No, love never fails. As a matter of fact, when you love agape style with God's love. Remember, Hebrew Romans 5:5 says that the love of God, whose love has been shed abroad? God's love. The love of God has been, past tense, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So when we walk in that love, God's love, we're actually practicing for what we're going to be doing throughout all eternity. If you're born again, this love is the love that we'll love one another with throughout all eternity. I don't know if you ever caught that. That's why it never fails. We're going to still be loving this way. It's just going to be a perfected love because we're going to be in a glorified state. Verse 13, "But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greater of these is love." Faith is great. Hope is great. But greatest is love. The reason that faith is cool and hope is great, that's cool, but you don't need those two anymore in eternity. Why? Because you're there before God. That's good. You're there. You're seeing him. You're face to face with him. You don't have to have faith anymore. You see it. Remember, the word of God said, if you see it, you don't have to hope for it. You don't have to have hope anymore. Hope is for the future. You're there. You see it. He's there. You're experiencing him. So faith and hope don't need anymore. But we're still going to need to love. You'll catch that at 3 a.m. The Lord bring it down. Yeah, you'll catch. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's powerful. I don't know if we really realize and sit in it that there are going to be billions of Christians in heaven from all tongue, tribe, people, and nations. And we're going to perfectly get along with one another forever. Just let that sit for a moment. Billions of the same mind, one accord, loving each other perfectly. No backstabbing, no cliques, no groups. No slip-ups. Oops, I didn't mean to say that. Man, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have did that. None of that forever. This is the love that we're going to love each other with. Lord, help us to see that. So when you practice that love down here, you're participating in what you're going to do in eternity. If you're born again. Having said that, let's quickly review the word behavior. Just a few synonyms. The title again of this sermon is The Behavior of Love. How it performs. How it conducts itself. How love, the deeds of love, the activities of love, the manners of love. So we saw the first two is what love, how love acts. It is patient when offended. That's the passive part. It's just patient. And then it is kind. That's the active part. Meaning it does what is beneficial and useful for the offender. And then H straight of what it doesn't do. Then it finishes out that it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And it never fails. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, unfortunately, does not walk in this kind of love nowhere near like it should. Even though Jesus has said that this kind of love shown one to another is how the world is going to know that you are my disciple, my mathetes, my disciple, my follower, my student. That's how they're going to know. Yeah. I've said it before. That's our driver's license. That's our social security card. That's our ID. That's what we have. That's how we show the world. Here's my ID, my deeds of love. Oh, you one of Jesus' people. Yeah, that's how they see that. And guess what? They don't know. Guess what's not your ID as a Christian? Our big mouths. It's not our ID. He didn't say, if you love me, say it. God so loved the world that he said it, followed by action. He said, if you love me, keep and keep on keeping on by obeying my commandments. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is action. Love is a verb. Not a noun. Let us not love in word and deed, the word of God says, but let us not love rather in deed, in word rather, but in action and in truth. Quick review of the definition of biblical love. Again, the Greek word again is agape. We looked at what it's not. The love is not or never refers to romantic love or sexual love. It does not refer to that. The Greek word for that is eros, from erotic. Does not refer to that. Nor does it refer to mere sentiment or a pleasant feeling. If it did, you could never love your enemies. You'll never have a pleasant feeling for your enemies, for the most part. So it doesn't refer to that. Thank God, because that would limit love. It does not mean close friendship or brotherly love. That's philia. From Philadelphia, Delphos, brother, philia is love of brother. Doesn't mean that. Nor does it mean charity, as King James, because charity in our vernacular is associated with giving to the needy. It doesn't just mean that. That's not what it's not. What is agape love? It is first and foremost sacrificial. It's sacrificial. It's a sacrifice. What are you sacrificing? Self. Love is first and foremost a sacrifice of self. And what? Why are you sacrificing yourself? What's the reason? For the sake of others. Even those who may care nothing at all about you and may even hate you. You sacrifice for them too. It is not a feeling, but a determined act of the will. Agape love is never accidental. It's always on purpose. It's always a predetermined, just like you have murder in the first degree, we want to commit love in the first degree. Because murder in the first degree is predetermined, pre-planned, and then carried out on purpose. That's how we're to love. Predetermined, pre-planned, and then carried out on purpose. It's purposeful. And it's directed. And it's deliberate. And it's intentional. It's a decision that you make. You decide to love those who've offended you. as a Christian, we don't have the right to have a retaliatory, vengeful spirit. We don't have that right because we are not our own. We were bought with a price. He's our master. We are his slave. And the master told the slave, I'm telling you, love your enemies. It's a determined act of the will. And a determined act of the will, a decision of the will, then leads to a determined act of self-giving, self-sacrifice. So once you make up, and that's what I'm saying, it's premeditated. Because you have to make up in your mind, I'm going to do this, and then that will lead to you doing that. Determined act of the will, a predetermined act of the will will lead to determined acts of self-giving. Because it's not in our nature to sacrifice ourselves, especially for those who've offended us. That's not in our nature. It's in our new nature. That's why we must be born again. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1 says that we are partakers and sharers of his divine nature. We need that because we can't do it in our own self. It's not a feeling, but a determined act of the will. Love is the willing desire to put the welfare of others above our own. It's on purpose. We read Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important. Not as important. Not just about close enough. But I'm still on top. No, more important than ourselves. That kind of love leaves no place for vanity and pride, and arrogance, self-seeking, self-glory. Leaves no place for that. It is an act of choice. It's an act of choice. We are commanded to exercise even on behalf of our enemies. So we're going over the attributes of love. Verse 4, love, first thing is patience. We've been covering patience for about 3 weeks. Love is patient. Compound Greek word, macrothumia. Macro means long, long time, long duration. Also pertains to distance. Thumos, carry the idea of a strong passion, a welling up of the whole spirit. Put them together, macrothumia, love. Suffering, patience, long-tempered, it means the restraint of the soul from yielding to passion, especially the passion of anger. It's a restraint of the soul. So it's like you putting your hand back on your soul, your mind, your heart. Hold on. Nope, we're not going there. Can you see why you can't do that on your own? Because the only person that can put your soul up there and block it from doing that is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If the power of the Holy Ghost ain't there, you're going to blow up. You have a volcano on the inside of you just waiting to erupt. Did you hear that? Patience is restraint on blocking that volcano from blowing up by the power of the Holy Ghost. And what you, so long suffering, patience is long suffering. You long suffering keep your volcano under while they are continually doing you wrong. Now you are free to leave. We ain't gonna block you. Am I right, Miss Phillips? We ain't gonna block you in there. But I must tell you, above level, like Dr. John F. MacArthur warned his congregation. Yeah. You know, Suzu. He warned them. Once you hear it, you're responsible. Yeah. You are responsible. And you've heard it. Long suffering is the control of the wrath that easily boils over. It's a restraint of the soul from yielding to passion, the passion of anger. It is a control of the wrath that easily boils over. That's long suffering. That's what patience is. And once you have that settled as your foundational understanding of what patience is, then we can define it a little further, which means to bear the offenses and injuries of others. To bear the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. Slow to anger. Slow to punish. That's the law. You're slow to do that. Patience is a person's ability to wait something out or endure something tedious without getting riled up. Amen. We're going over this. What's this April? Probably the third or fourth straight Sunday. And it still sounds like it's brand new. At least for me it is. I need to keep hearing this. Patience is enduring difficulties while restraining anger. To do what? Endure difficulties while restraining anger. Difficulties. Hardships. You're in the middle of it. You're in it. Sister Rolanda talked about the valley. You're in that valley. And while you're in the valley is somebody doing you wrong. And they're doing you wrong and they're just doing you wrong. And you're shook by this whole situation. And they said you're able to endure that and you're restraining the volcano. That's our review. Let's go ahead and talk about the greatest demonstration of patience, and that is from God. Patience demonstrated by God. We've been talking about our being commanded to be patient. We've seen all of that. We talked about the great Abraham Lincoln, who, I'm going to read that one again. I promise I won't cry on this one. Yeah, amen. One of Abraham Lincoln's earliest political enemies was Edwin M. Stanton. He called Lincoln a low, cunning clown and the original gorilla. Stanton said concerning Lincoln, "It was ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla," he would say, "when they could come and easily find one in Springfield, Illinois." Lincoln never responded to the slander. But when, as president, he needed a Secretary of War, he chose Stanton. If that's not the love of God and work, Stanton would have been the last dude I would have been looking at. Period. Matter of fact, I'm going to find a law to come into existence to put that guy in jail.
Yeah.
But love chose Stanton. When his incredulous friends asked why, Lincoln replied, "Because he is the best man." Years later, as the slain president's body lay in state, Stanton looked into the coffin and said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men that the world has ever seen." His animosity was finally broken by Lincoln's long-suffering, non-retaliatory spirit. Patient love won out. That's another human being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus wasn't confused when he said, "Love your enemies." Mm-hmm. But we can't do that. Yes, every command he gives can be done by us. Amen. That's human. Let's look at patience as demonstrated by God. Before we get into it, let me open up with another commentary. The commentator says, quote, "Since Adam and Eve first disobeyed him," talking about God, "God has been continually wronged and rejected by those he made in his own image." That's enough statement that'll just close up the Bible and go home and cry for a year. since Adam and Eve, God has been continually wronged and rejected by those he made in his own image. Just say la for a moment on that. We get wrong, you're ready to kill everybody. And yet we have wronged God since he's been being wronged since Adam and Eve. Talking about long suffering. Talking over 6,000 years of just wrong, wrong, wrong. The commentator goes on to say, quote, he was rejected and scorned by his chosen people, through whom he gave the revelation of his word, the oracles of God. Yet through the thousands of years, the eternal God has been eternally long suffering. Let the church say amen.
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 Thank you,
Lord. If the Holy, the commentator finishes by this, with this statement. If the Holy Creator is so infinitely patient with his rebellious creatures, how much more should his unholy creatures be patient with each other? End quote. We got work to do, saints. We got work to do. I hope you're thinking of someone that you're having trouble with. Let the Holy Ghost bring it to you. And then recognize if you're born again, you got power to walk in love to that person. Not feeling warm and fuzzy. We just went through all of that. Not feeling warm and fuzzy. Not feeling warm and fuzzy. It's not about that. It's about obedience. It's about doing what God has told us to do. It's not warm and fuzzy. See, the devil, man, I've struggled with myself. The devil will tell you if you ain't feeling warm and fuzzy, something is wrong. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's when you have an option to do for them, to benefit them, to advantage them, and you don't do it. You're not walking in love. You're not loving them.
Wow.
Let's slow down. Do you understand me, word of life? It's not about feelings. That's why I went through the definition again. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotion. It's about action. It's a predetermined will. And God is so wonderful. He know that if it was left up to emotion, we would fail that command. He know it. So thank God. He said, no, that's not about that. I'll be honest with you. God, the word of God says in the Old Testament, I think it's Psalm. He says that he is angry with the sinner all the day long. Do you know what the word angry means in the Hebrew? Y'all probably may know because I told y'all. But the word angry with the sinner, angry in the Hebrew means foaming at the mouth. Angry. Now, you know, that's anthropomorphic. I mean, you know, God is no mouth and all that. But for us to have a picture of how much he hates sin, that word means foaming at the mouth. And yet he still allows the sun to shine on the child molester as well as Saint so-and-so. He sends rain on the crops of a murderous dictator as well as the elder so-and-so. He's been wronged for over 6,000 years by billions and billions of people every day. And yet he's patient because this world ought to be burnt to a crisp and everybody in it. And he would be righteous in doing it. That's why you got to understand, you can't work your way to heaven. I don't care how much good deeds you do, you can't work your way into heaven. We're sinners.
Yes.
Born spiritually dead. Gospel time. Born spiritually dead. Meaning, when you were born alive naturally, you were born dead spiritually. That's why Jesus said you must be born again.
Yes.
Anew. There must be a second birth.
Yes.
And that, we have nothing to do with that. Just like you didn't have anything to do with your first birth naturally, you have nothing to do with this second birth spiritually.
Amen.
To be born anew means to be born from God, born from heaven, born anew, born a second time. Ephesians 2 lets us know that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. See, that's how we were born, spiritually dead. We were sinners. We had a sin nature. And Christ Jesus rose us from the dead.
Thank you, Lord.
And now that we're alive, now we've been, you heard this word, regenerated, born again.
Thank you, Lord.
And at that moment, now you're positioned, hallelujah, to see your sin like never before.
Thank you, Lord.
And you recognize, I can't do nothing with this. I got to throw myself on the mercy of the cross. Mm. And Lord, save me because I can't do nothing with this sin. I see my sin. I see it. And I throw myself on the mercy of the cross. Blood of Jesus. Apply it to my life, Lord God. I repent of that sin. And I turn from it. That's how you walk in newness of life. You can't work your way in there. Because until you are alive spiritually, there's nothing you can do to work your way into heaven. Thank you, Jesus. He's patient with us. He's eternally patient. Eternally long-suffering. And if the Holy Creator is so infinitely patient with his rebellious creatures, how much more should his unholy creatures be patient with each other? Lord, help us to be that. Let's now get into a few scriptures here, a few moments we have before you. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, look at verse 8. We're now seeing the perfect demonstration of patience or long-suffering by our Father and our God. Exodus 34, verse 8. Then the Lord passed by in front of him being Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. This is the Lord's commentary on himself. Then the Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, and the Lord proclaimed concerning himself, the Lord, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Lord, help us to be like you, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Why can I pray that prayer? Because we're to be like him. Right? Matthew chapter 5. Be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what we're to aim our lives at. He said, love your enemies. And when you do that, then you'll prove to be a child of God. Matthew chapter 5. Exodus 34 and 6. My bad. What you have? I told you 8.
Yeah.
Well, where's the Holy Ghost at? You're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm sorry. Exodus 34, verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Abounding in it. That's what the Lord is. That's his commentary on himself. Look at Psalm 78. I'm sure I can get this one right. Psalm 78, verse 38. Lord, help us to be more like you.
Amen.
I want to be more like you. Yes. Want to be a vessel you work through. Let me be more like you. Psalm 78:38. But he, being compassionate, is that the right verse?
Yes.
Forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them. Could he have destroyed them?
Yes.
Would he have been right in destroying them?
Yes.
Would there be any injustice in destroying them? No. But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them, and often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. That's the patience of God. Every time we sin, that's what's going on, Word of Life. He is restraining his anger, and he did not arouse all his wrath. But he remembered that we are flesh. somebody somewhere ought to lift a hand or two and say, thank you, Jesus. We ought to be on our knees saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then remember that we are but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. Look at Romans chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience with us. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. The word of God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience. Much patience. Vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Sinners sinning all around. And he is enduring with much patience. It's amazing that he gives singers. I enjoy singing and hearing people sing. And he gives singers the gift of singing, knowing they will never give them a shred of. That's just the mercy and grace of God. Gives them the ability to dance, and you're going to use it to dance all hoochie mama. That's old school word. You know, not giving him no kind of glory for it. He endures with much patience vessels of wrath. He allows you to be quote unquote good looking, and you take that and just misuse people. You're arrogant as if you formed your nose, your eyes, your teeth, your personality, and you did not. Much patience. He endures with much patience vessels of wrath. Much patience. Slide over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Lord, help us to be patient like you. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know what? It's, you know, y'all, walking in love is unshackling. It's unshackling. In other words, it sets you free. Because now you're just holding on, trying to get yours, trying to get mine, and go do me this way, this, that, and the other. It's freedom in walking in love. It's a releasing. Yeah. You can fly like an eagle. Pray for me. That's the first one, though, so I'm doing pretty good today. 1 Peter 3:20. Yes, sir. But just keep praying. That's verse 20. Who once were disobedient? How about the people in the days of Noah? When the patience of God, the what? Patience of God kept waiting. The patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. That's in Genesis 6:3. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. When it says God kept waiting in the days of Noah, you know how long he waited? 120 years. Wow. Genesis 6:3 says, then the Lord said, because the Lord saw the evil of mankind, the wickedness of man all over the earth. Genesis 6:5 says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man that was great, and that the intentions of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil all the time. The intentions of the thoughts of the hearts of mankind was only evil all the time. Can you see why you can't work your way into heaven? Because that's you and I. That's every sinner who doesn't know God. The every intention of the thoughts of their heart is only evil all the time. Okay, God is saying then, my spirit is not going to strive with man forever. I'm trying to get y'all to do right. He said, my spirit will not strive with you. Come on and do right. Because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. 120 years. And during that time, God, Noah, the word of God said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah is hammering and preaching. Hammering and preaching 120 years. And only eight folk listen. Only 8 people listened. The rest of the world was swallowed up in the flood. He gave a chance because he's patient. He gave him a chance because he's patient. They laughed at Noah. They made fun of Noah. Yeah. Rain, what is that? Ain't no rain on earth. Y'all don't realize it ain't rained on earth yet. Because the mists will come in and water the earth. So they laughed at him. They made fun of Noah. Mm-hmm. They laughed at God's man. But God was still patient. 120 years. He's patient. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to this, y'all. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you. Remember Peter? This is 2 Peter, right? The first letter, first epistle, letter. This is the second letter he's writing. To you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. That's how I get that. The Lord moves on me to say, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Yeah, my bad. Got it? Co-crawl. Yes, somebody don't have it? Auntie, take your time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. You got it? Okay. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. And you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Verse 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, meaning they died, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. What they're saying is, oh, y'all talking about Jesus coming back? Ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing going on. Folk done came and died and came and died. He said, everything is going on as always. Verse 5. But when they maintain this, Peter says, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, that the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So 1,000 years pass, in your mind, it's a long time. You follow me? In the human mind, it's a long time. But with God, it ain't nothing but a day. So you thinking, oh, a whole lot of time has passed. It ain't nothing changed. But with God, it's only been a few seconds. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. No, it's not like, no, Jesus ain't coming, like it ain't going to happen. The Lord is just being patient. He's demonstrating his patience. Now let's break this down right quick as we get ready to close. Because the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. In other words, he's slow. This is taking a long time. Ain't nothing happening. That's what you think. That's how men count slowness. But instead, what really is happening is God is being patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Any and all is controversial. Yep. You ain't got to preach it ahead of time, but amen. Amen. I love it. You're on point with it. The Indian all has been very controversial. But it's real simple if you understand what we just talked about. Now, when we're born as humans, from the womb of our mother, we are, as I said earlier, we're spiritually born dead because we inherited Adam's sin nature. You're dead. So when God looks what they call the corridor of time, and they use that phrasing. When he looks down the hallway of man, the existence of man, what he sees is a bunch of dead people. The movie Sixth Sense. I see dead people. That came from God. All God saw was dead people. You follow me? Yeah. Now, let me tell you why. Because the wrong teaching is, and I thank the Lord, y'all heard it again, you hear it again and again and again. The teaching is, in order for God to be fair, what he does is he looks down the quarter of the time, and when he sees what he does, he sees people who, when the gospel is presented to them, they accept the gospel. And when they accept the gospel, then, notice the order, God then chooses them to be his elect. Well, in that scenario, who's the sovereign one? Yeah. Because what when mankind teaches that, they're saying God does not choose who he elects. He chooses only based on your human being's choice. If they choose first, then God says, okay, come on. The only problem with that is a dead man can't choose. We just said you were born spiritually dead. And every thought of the intention of your heart is only evil all the time. So you can't come up out of that and just choose God all of a sudden, because you're dead spiritually. So when people teach, and by the way, millions and billions teach this all over the world, and have been teaching for thousands of years. Yeah. I don't care. It's wrong. Because we're born spiritually dead. You can't choose. So, in eternity past, when God sees all of human history from Genesis to Revelation, he sees a bunch of dead people. He turns, symbolically, to God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit over here, and say, hey, I'm going to give you a gift because I love you. I'm going to give you a gift. God the Father saying to God the Son, I want to give you a gift for all eternity. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to, throughout this mass of humanity, I'm going to gather some out of that mass of dead people, and I'm going to give them life and give them to you as a gift. 1 Corinthians 15. For you to have. That's why Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And not one will be lost. Yeah. He gives a gift out of that. So what God does then, he knows that some are going to be born like Abel at the beginning of time. And then some are going to be born in 2054. You see what I'm saying? Before the foundation of the world, God has already set all that he's going to save. Already, it's already been set. But they still got to be born in real time. So when he says that in verse 8, that he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, that any, but all come to repentance, that any and all, is referring to the elect that God has chosen. It's the elect that God has chosen. That God then he goes into and he chooses, I'm going to give life to that one and not to that one. Life to that one and not to that one. Now when people teach, the reason they don't teach that because they don't like that. It makes God seem unfair. And what they forget is, well, don't God owe salvation to everybody? Well, if God owes salvation, then it's no longer grace. Because grace is unearned, unmerited. If you owe it, it then is a wage and it ceases to be grace. So no, God does not owe. What he owes us is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what he owes you. But grace, salvation is by grace. So he graces folks as he sees fit. And there are those who are not even born yet that he's already counted from before the foundation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So he says, I'm going to hold tight. I'm going to keep my Jesus back. No, he ain't coming back until all those that I've chosen, so that none of them will perish. That's some profound patience. That's some profound patience. Let us walk in just a fraction of that. In Jesus' name. Butterball Jr., that's it. I must quit. Haste to left you, but I got to win. Amen. Every head bowed. Pray for me. Pray for me. Why is she not on the loud side of Phyllis? Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God, our Father and our God, thank you for real teaching. Thank you that we ain't up here playing. Thank you we're not up here platforming. Thank you we're not up here politicianing. That ain't a word, but it is. We ain't up here campaigning. We're not trying to get our approval meter. We're not trying to get ticks and something else on the TikTok and the knick-knock, whatever them things is. Lights, thank you. We're not doing that. We're here to please you and you alone, Father God. May you be glorified. May you and you alone be honored. May you be magnified. May you be exalted. May you be lifted up, hallelujah. You and you alone. May you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Help us to be more like you. Let's play that, April. We want to be more like you. Help us to be more like you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be more like him. Let's prepare for offering. If you need an offering envelope or a prayer request form, please lift one hand where you are. One will be given to you.